Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
A lot of people say, oh, you're great, you're fine, you're wonderful. It depends on the source. When divinity says you're number one, when divinity knows Jesus knew everything about John the Baptist, his thoughts, his motivations, his whole life, and he said, you're the greatest person who's ever walked on this earth. Man, that is authoritative. You can't debate with that.
The truth is, true greatness is attainable for you today. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, The Greatest Man, and shares the key to achieving greatness in your life. Stay with us. That powerful message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's five-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Greatest Man.
400 years. No word from God. Temple worship went on. Sacrificial system continued. All the special days were religiously observed. A form of godliness. No power. Until we read in the Gospel of John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not John the Apostle, but John the Baptizer. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Read the last few verses in Malachi, you see how hypocritical, empty, godless, vain all the worship of Israel had become. No authentic voice that represented the true and living God until John the Baptist. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he preached with clarity, insight, no respecter of persons. Herod was king. Herod had stolen his brother Philip's wife. Her name was Herodias. John the Baptist looked at the king right square in the eye and said, "You are guilty of adultery." Prophet. A prophet is not only someone who predicts. A prophet primarily in the Bible is someone who tells forth. And he spoke the truth to the highest ranking person in the land. You are an adulterer. Herod put him in prison, a prison in the backside of nowhere, down by the Jordan River, hot, barren, if you've ever been there, empty, void of life, you would think. And there John, the great prophet, through a period of time, I'm sure, began to be delirious and wondering and somewhat confused. Two of his followers came to him, and John said, when he heard about Jesus and what he was doing and what was going on, he said, "Go and ask my cousin Jesus if he is the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the promised one." Now, you would think that certainly John knew this. He'd been a part of all of it. But yet I can tell you something. Alone in a prison, hot, forgotten, all kind of things happened. So he said, "Go ask Jesus if he is Emmanuel, God with us." And the two messengers left John in his prison and went to Jesus and asked him, "Are you the one?" And Jesus said, "Go back and tell John what you see and what you hear." He said, "The deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, the blind have their sight restored, and the dead are being brought back to life, and good news is being proclaimed to the poor. You go back and tell John, that's what I'm doing, that's what's going on." What was he saying? He wanted to remind John that Jesus was fulfilling exactly the prophecy that was predicted about the coming of Messiah. And then in that prison, we have a strange situation. Herod was afraid of John, the king. But then Herod had a large party, gathering of the people, the dignitaries, celebration. And he asked his stepdaughter, Salome, to dance. And Salome, the daughter of his adulterous wife, Herodias, danced a dance that was so sensual. It excited Herod so much, he said, "I'll give to that girl anything she wants, up to half of the kingdom." And the little girl went and asked her mother, Herodias, "What should I ask for?" And that vindictive woman said, "Go ask for the head of John the Baptist." He was beheaded. His head was brought to the king on a platter. Courageous. His courage cost a price. Incidentally, parenthetically, this is the first Baptist who lost his head over dancing. You have in a scripture here that after this happened, John was still alive, but Jesus said this to the messengers, said, "John's the one." And then Jesus turned to a large crowd and he said, What did you go out into the wilderness to see? Talking about John the Baptist. A reed shaken by the wind? Somebody who would take a poll and see what was popular to say and then say it? By the way, nothing, I didn't plan on saying this, nothing upsets me more and is more violent to me than all the politicians who take polls and decide what they're going to believe according to polls. I want people to say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, this is the guts and the heart of my life, that's how I'm going to govern. I am so tired of checking windage everywhere. Aren't you? I'd rather somebody stand for something I absolutely disbelieve than to be all over the planet. John the Baptist was not all over the planet. You listened to him. You watched him. He was like the cross-eyed javelin thrower. You paid attention when it was his turn. So Jesus is talking about John, and he said, did you go out in the wilderness? By the way, they think over 300,000 went out to hear him, way out in the boondocks. Did you see a man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in the king's palaces. But he said, but what did you see? He's talking to the crowd, Jesus. A prophet? Yes. I'll tell you one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Verse 11, truly I say to you, said Jesus, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Did you get that? Jesus said, man or woman, nobody's ever walked this planet who was greater than John the Baptist. What's he saying? John the Baptist was the GOAT. Unless you're a sports fan, that went talking about Tom Brady being a GOAT. What does that mean? Greatest of all time. And we discuss this all the time. Who was the greatest president of all time? It seems as the longer it is between the presidency, the greater they become. Is it Lincoln? Is it Washington? Who is the GOAT among our presidents? We look at it in all walks of life. We decide, well, who is the greatest of all time in this profession, in that profession? Who's made the greatest contribution? We talk about the word great. Look up great in Webster. It means heavy. In Webster, it says, you're way above average. In Webster, it would say something like that you are summa cum laude. You are phenomenal. You are superior. You're way up at the top. You are great. Let me tell you something about greatness. I hear people talking about, I wonder what my family is going to think about me when I'm gone. I wonder what my legacy will be. That's absolute nonsense. Let me tell you about your legacy and my legacy. Take a glass of water and fill it up. Take your finger, put it in the water, push the water down, pull your finger out, and the amount of time it took for that water to replace where your finger was, that's your legacy and that's my legacy. Our legacy is based on what we have done for God in this life. I presided at the memorial service this week of the most influential member of our church in the 41 years I've been pastor. Most influential person, I think. She was 96 years old, godly, Di Alpha White, taught for 34 years, the fifth grade. As she taught, she witnessed to those children, led thousands of them to Christ. Their mothers and dad led so many of them to Christ. They led their parents to Christ. And you've got dozens and dozens and hundreds of people that'll go on and on and on because this fifth grade teacher loved them all the way home to God, and it affected that generation, generations to come, and generations to come. She worked the Winning Walk, our television, radio ministry. People called in from all over the world, and she would share with them, deal with them, love them. I had her Bible in my hand. First part of her Bible was the Roman Road. It's a path many of you are familiar with of how you become a Christian. In the last of the Bible, she had scripture of all the prayers in the Old Testament, all the prayers in the New Testament. She was in our prayer ministry when we began it some 34 years ago, and every hour Wednesday afternoon, she was there praying for all of us and a lot of other needs. All these years, she was 96. Also in her Bible, I saw something else, an offering envelope made out for the next Sunday had she lived. Most influential member of our church, I think. Phenomenal person? No, not really. She just loved the Lord, loved her family, and she just served wherever she could go and whatever she could do. And most anybody here could feel part of that gap. Influence. Greatest who ever lived. That was John the Baptist. By the way, a lot of people say, oh, you're great, you're fine, you're wonderful. It depends on the source. When divinity says you're number one, when divinity knows Jesus knew everything about John the Baptist, his thoughts, his motivations, oh, big, his whole life, and he said, you're the greatest person who's ever walked on this earth. Man, that is authoritative. You can't debate with that. So when you have somebody like John the Baptizer who is elevated up to the greatest, we better step back and ask some questions. What was his background? How did he get to this lofty position? Number one, how did he get there? First of all, you go back to his birth. You go back to his family. If you were brought up by a God-fearing mother and a God-fearing father, few of us were, you're greatly to be blessed. Can't have a better blessing than that. And a good mom, a righteous dad. Man, that is wonderful. What a blessing that is. What a privilege that is. How rare that's becoming in our culture. What if I told you that 50% of the people who get married commit suicide? Would you say, woo, you'd have to say, just wait a minute. Man, that's an overwhelming figure that's there. You see, that's what happens in marriage. Remember, two become one and they become a separate entity. And when that entity is destroyed, that life, that suicide is ended. That's what's happened to us. Many of us, half of us here, probably have divorced or be gone through divorces. God forgives and forgets. Don't get bogged down there. But I'm just saying how important it is to start where we are, and if we're married, to make that marriage dynamic and whole and great and gracious. When you want the best for your mate and your mate wants the very best for you, man, that'll change everything right up front, won't it? Just a little bitty thing like that. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Just take that verse, put it in your marriage. It'll change everything. So what are we saying here? We're saying that John the Baptist was great because of his birth. Exciting. Zachariah and Elizabeth, descendants of Aaron, by the way. Remember, they're the priestly brother of Moses. They were married and they were a godly couple. They prayed and prayed and prayed for a son. They prayed and prayed and prayed for a son. God didn't say yes. Finally, they were both old people, way beyond childbearing age, and they stopped praying. But Zacharias was selected to be once in his lifetime to go to the temple, go in the Holy of Holies, and to offer that blood sacrifice for atonement on the Day of Atonement. And Zach went in, and Gabriel came and said, "Zach, guess what? You're going to be a dad." Gabriel, this is old Zach here. I mean, don't believe you. Gabriel said, "It's true." He said, "Because you didn't believe it, you're not going to speak for a while. I'm just shutting you down."
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
I want to know Christ and experience the power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. I love to play golf. I'm always looking for ways to improve my game, to get more power and distance. Golf instructors will often say, "Let the club do the work." But like many other golfers, I often resort to using my muscles and strength more than my form and club choice and the swing that needs to come natural and normal. In the same way, trying to bear fruit for God by working under our own power is non-productive. It's even futile. Salvation in Jesus Christ means we have His resurrection power. You think that's enough power to handle your life, to change your life? In our own strength, we're limited. But let Jesus Christ, His resurrection power, the Holy Spirit, do the work. Surrender to Him. He can handle it. He will change it. He will give strength. He will give endurance. He will enable you and me to stand in whatever comes up. Paul puts it in Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," "with His resurrection power," So ask God to use you today as an instrument, as a servant. An instrument is something somebody picks up and uses and puts down. A servant is somebody who's always available 24/7. Anybody can be an instrument, but only God's children can become servants, because servants are empowered by Christ's resurrection life.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and He always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with more proven truth about how to achieve true greatness.